You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You know, I love a good Aardman film, and I also am a fan of mutton, so it's really an odd mix watching Shaun the Sheep. Maybe I'm just the weird out here, but...
You are. There are anthropomorphic sheep, and you're talking about eating them. How dare you?
Yeah. But I definitely love, you know, Wallace and Gromit. That's one of my favorites.
Yes, it's my husband's favorite, so I've watched all of them. Timmy Time, Shaun the Sheep, Wallace and Gromit, all the things.
And also Chicken Run as well.
Chicken That's Run, the yep. The one with the slugs flushed away.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that one is actually CGI, but it's done in the style of the claymation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And the snails, the slugs, that's what they are. They are the best part.
Oh, that's cute.
Well, before we get too far into it, I'm Ben, and with me is...
Paloma.
And Mindy.
It's Mindy's first time with us on Screener Squad, so we're only going to haze her a little.
Oh, no, you can't do any worse than Chris.
I mean, that's true. I've been on some of those. So, but yeah, we're talking about the newest Shaun the Sheep movie. Shaun the Sheep, the movie, Farmageddon, which they don't need to say the movie. I think it's like the third Shaun the Sheep movie.
I'll admit right now, this is the first Shaun the Sheep film I've seen. I've only seen Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run. I haven't seen any of the other works.
I think Shaun the Sheep has one other movie,
okay.
But it has a spin-off series, which is Timmy Time, which is about the little baby sheep going off to preschool.
Oh, that's cute. Maybe it is on Netflix?
I think so. It is absolutely adorable.
Yeah.
Actually, Wikipedia says there might be two Shaun the Sheep movies. Nope. There's just terrible naming conventions in other countries for this one that makes it really confusing on Wikipedia. Hooray, Internet!
Yay!
But yeah, so this is the story of everybody's favorite claymation sheep getting into trouble. This time, there's an alien that crashes in London. Turns out it's a baby alien who's trying to get home as Shaun tries to help it through many misadventures.
Because he stole the car.
Yeah.
Yes, little baby accidentally stole the car and then went to work. Well, not work, went to Earth. And then all of a sudden you have evil government, because evil government always wants to kill, dissect, whatever it is, little aliens, because that's the way they are in movies. And Shaun the Sheep has to protect them.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing to me is, like, these are the worst parents, these alien parents, because it's like...
They are.
Well, they were asleep, but...
For a day and a half? The alien landed at night before, and then day before. I don't care what your cycle is on your planet, that's still 24 Earth hours.
Well, maybe it was hard to find. Maybe it was hard to find the planet. What planet he or she was on?
They were still sleeping. They
oh, really?
The whole movie is them sleeping
you
until
don't
they
know.
Get the
they
call
may have
from
been
Shaun.
In the middle of their sleep cycle.
Yeah, we don't know how long they sleep either. They might sleep for a really long time.
So yeah, I think the dog, though, it's kind of annoying me with that, because the dog has progressively, like, from the cartoon further, has become, like, more of an antagonist in a way, and I don't get that, because the dog kind of seemed, like, friendly with them in the shorts, which is where I think Shaun really excels, is in the short films.
Well, I mean, in the... You know, in all of the Wallace and Gromit stuff, the dog is always smarter. The dog is always there fixing all the things that go wrong. The dog is always the one that has to be in charge. And then you have, you know, Shaun or Wallace and, you know, causing trouble in their own, not pesky, but in their lovable whippersnapper kind of way. And they have to clean up the mess before all hell breaks loose. And so it's like, it isn't fair.
And I also think that there needs to be some level of drama, especially at the beginning. So we have him as being kind of the foil. And I think the dog maybe needs to be the foil for it to, at least for parts of it to work. So I think the fun part was like the very beginning where we have like the she doing all these kind of crazy things, like, you know, driving tractors and that kind of stuff. And so if we didn't have like the dog doing that, then we wouldn't have that at the very beginning, having that like, that little drama sequence. But that was kind of reminded me of a little short. I feel like that would be a perfect little short, actually. We took that out of the movie and just had that by itself.
I'm sure there's been a short about it somewhere. Because the beginning of the film is very much indicative of the show, where it's like, here is something that Sean and his buddies aren't supposed to do, and they do it anyway, and the dog has to come in and fix it. And that's just the whole thing. It's like, don't, you know, ride on the harvester. Don't shoot yourself out of a cannon.
Don't get pizza.
And there are plenty of the shorts that are similar to that.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I haven't seen all the Sean's. But what I'm curious is I remember Wallace and Gromit talking a little bit. So is this rare for them to not talk at all?
They don't
in
talk
Shaun
in
Sheep, they
Shaun
don't.
Sheep.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, this was wearing something. Like, I was kind of missed the little... Because even Wallace and Gromit didn't have a lot of dialogue. It had a little bit of dialogue, but not very much. But I kind of missed...
It's
feel like
really
it was
to
kind
the
of...
detriment of this movie, yeah.
Yeah,
which
really
was surprising, too, in the way, like, the ending, because, you know, watching through the credits, I looked at all the names of voice actors, like, no, you did not need to hire this many people to be like,
on Wikipedia, there is a voice actor, at least eight voice actors, and I'm like, you could have had, like,
more
four guys and a Foley artist on Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
There were a bunch, there were, like, the names of the characters, and then there were the names of, like, additional voices, and it's like... How what did they do? They were just like,
they even have some of the sheep, like the other sheep who I don't recall barely even making a noise, have their own voice actor. And I'm just, it's such an odd thing. And I mean, the movie is 87 minutes. It's not long, but unfortunately it does start to feel long, because when you don't have voice actors and you're trying to keep your movie entertaining for little kids, you're going to put in lots of bits and, you know, comedy bits, which can be fun, but so many of them kind of feel like space fillers at a point, because you go through like 10-minute period of the movie where you're like, this whole segment didn't need to be here.
But yeah.
Thing about the movie too is that in the series, Sean is, you know, he's the lovable antagonist, but he is the antagonist. He is in charge of the action. In this one, it's this little alien child. And this little alien child is foreign in more ways than one. So it's like you have Sean, who's the focal character, essentially trying to keep up with this little alien, and he's not the one driving the action.
Yes, and he also is also cleaning up. He starts becoming almost like the dog.
Yeah.
He's trying to control everything and trying to keep everything or as well. He's usually the one who creates the chaos. At least I could tell that even from not seeing a lot of the Sean the Sheep ones.
Right.
No, and it kind of is. And, like, we do get to the point where they kind of get in early here. There's the Ministry of Alien Detections, or MAD, that comes in trying to hunt down the alien.
Like Men in Black kind of situation. Or like E.T., the government. Like, I felt like the film reminded me of E.T. a lot of the different aspects.
Yeah, and they definitely make that reference themselves quite a bit. I found the guys from MAD to be a fun addition. You know, it's like just their one leader and all the rest of them are in yellow suits, which is so, that's the E.T. reference to them all in the yellow suit. And it's actually kind of really funny. And when they get to the MAD base, it's kind of hilarious with that, because it's just them doing casual things in the suit.
And that was actually a cute thing that I thought, although little kids will not get it, and in some cases even their parents won't get the reference, but it's like the entrance into that space base is from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. The whistle that gets you into the offices is the theme for X-Files, and it just it had these little references to other things that, you know, if you're old enough or watched it with your parents, you will get. And I thought those were cute little touches, but they were all surrounded by the MAD base, essentially.
Yeah.
In connection to it.
And then, like, there's, and also to prove that it's British, there is so many Doctor Who references.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
That goes without saying.
Needs to have Doctor Who references, or it's not a British, you know, film.
Yeah, exactly. I even love the Tom Baker cameo that they forced into this movie. For no reason, but it was pretty great coming out of a blue toilet. Like, come on.
It's a porta potty. Okay.
The movie, like, things like that, and when it's being witty and being self-aware and calling out the genre, is kind of what Aardman does great, and those scenes are fantastic.
Yeah.
But then you have things like the diversion to the grocery store.
Right.
Just kind of felt way too long and way too much for what it was, especially when, you know, their adventure to get even by there, you know, traveling, you know, by basically magically powered trash can was actually really entertaining. And it's kind of a diversion from something that was entertaining and, you know, active to something that's a diversion away from it.
I think that part of the problem, too, is that it suffered from having too many plots, because you have the main plot of this alien baby has come down on Earth and has to get home. Then you have the mad plot, which is an alien has come to Earth and we need to study it. Then you have the plot of the farmer wanting to raise money to get his new harvester, so creating this Farmageddon theme park. Then you have, you know, the dog and the sheep reacting to both of these plots, and all three of these plots, and then the, you know, the people in the town reacting to two of these plots, and it's just
it feels disjointed.
Yeah, it felt disjointed, and it felt like you were looking at things from a whole bunch of different angles instead of a cohesive arc. And as a result, I mean, and it's amplified by the fact that there isn't dialogue, that it didn't get this. Some of these plots didn't get the focus that they need. I think if they'd cut out some of those plots and focused more on, say, the mad group, and then the alien trying to get home, and maybe just did those two and not worried about the town's alien mania and the guy trying to get money for his harvester, it would have been more fluid.
I agree. I think that's true. I think if we'd taken it, it would have been easier to kind of not follow, but it would have been easier to kind of fill the flow of the story instead of
And you could have added more to it and made things like, say, the trip to the grocery store, made that more of a part of that plot as opposed to just a side quest of it.
A distraction, essentially.
Yeah, because right now it's a distraction.
It down a little bit. Yeah, just a way to slow down the action for whatever reason they wanted to slow it down. Because there was no payoff, really. Like, they got away clean.
Yeah.
And they went on to the next thing.
And I wonder if part of that is just because this is intended for little kids, and they're like, and whether it was a producer going in being like, little kids love it when you eat a bunch of candy and go crazy. I'm wondering how much of that was that.
I mean, I also think that they were also trying to appeal to the parents of the kids. Like, or they wouldn't have the Doctor Who reference, or wouldn't have the X-Files references, or whatever. ET reference.
All these movies are a balance of that kind of thing. Like, when you do an animated movie that's intended for children, there's always that kind of balance. But yeah, because it's intended for little kids, but also
how
has to appeal to their adult parents, it's a harder gap to bridge.
It's true. I would say Shaun the Sheep is probably the youngest skewing thing Aardman has done, because it is...
Timmy Time.
Well, true, but that's basically an offshoot of Shaun the Sheep, so right. I would kind of split that down the line. I will say the farmer plot, I think, was important. One, it did feed into how the narrative ended, which I thought was a pretty solid ending when they actually got to that conclusion. And it's also a big part of Shaun the Sheep is kind of that thing about, you know, the old thing with Gromit being smarter than Wallace, of the animals are technically more aware and more functional and active and alive than the humans, and the humans are just kind of dopey placeholders. And that's a big thing in Shaun the Sheep, and the farmer is really entertaining with that here, even though sometimes he's just there to force the dog out of the narrative for a moment. But also the dumb townspeople, you know, the old man and his dog telling the story to the news and going, you know, that, and like the crazy fanatics were just entertaining. And I think maybe they were too large, but they could have been also used better as, you know, background characters, with the farmer being the only C plot in there.
Yeah, but as you said, this was important to the ending, and the ending was when all the plots tied together. And cut out kind of the beginning of it. It's the stuff at the beginning that led up to that ending, and you could cut that out and still have that strong ending by focusing on less. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I also think that, I feel like Wallace, Wallace was a little bit more kind of, well, he had more to do, and he was kind of more engaging than the farmer is.
Yes, the farmer is very much a background character in
Shaun the Sheep. Yeah, I think Wallace was the main character. Maybe he was a little bit, you know, not as smart as the dog, Gromit, but he still had life to him.
He created a lot of ideas, too, that Gromit either had to enhance or prevent. Yeah,
when they went to the moon to get the cheese.
You know, Wallace created one of the big conflicts and inventions in Beware the Were-Rabbit. So it's like he's an active participant. The farmer in Shaun the Sheep really isn't. That's more the dog's role.
The dog does everything, really. I mean,
right.
He might have some vague idea of what he wants to do, but he gives it all to the dog, and the dog has to make it happen.
Right.
I will say my biggest issue is, like, the more I think about this movie, the more I'm trying to remember parts of it. Like, there's little bits that stick out to me, and they're basically bits that would make for good shorts. But overall, it's, you know, pretty much we have that intro section where they're failing around. The first alien encounter with the town's guy, which is funny. And then we have basically until Shaun and the alien are traveling, and then the mad. And it's like after that, it's just kind of like a mad rush to try to get to the end. Like the way you try to force that conclusion is the weirdest thing with the dog stopping Shaun, you know, in the ship. It almost doesn't make sense at that point. Like you get it on Earth when he's trying to keep a low profile. It's like there, it's like you just force that to have a reason for that conflict to boil over to that point.
Yeah, there's no reason. I mean, the dog's as lost as Shaun is. He doesn't know how the spacer works. So he doesn't know what buttons to press would do, what they would do, or what anything would happen. So yeah, it doesn't make sense for him to want to stop him. But I mean, yeah, I kind of, not dozed up, but yeah, I agree.
Well, what it did is it created a bigger conflict, which wasn't necessary for the plot, because it created, you know, trying not to do spoilers, it's like it created something that Shaun did that resulted in the biggest conflict of the film, and how are they gonna get past it?
The climax.
It was the first time in I think any of the shorts even that it's like something Shaun specifically did had a consequence. But as you said, it was very forced.
Even the dog's part trying to be like the rules lawyer just doesn't work there. And then also when they end up at the, you know, precipice of the climax after that scene, it's like the, you know, like even the dog that tries to shame Shaun for, it's like, no, none of this makes sense at this point, you know, just get moving. And it gets interesting again, because I will say, you know, I've kind of shat on it a little bit more than I think both of you have to this point, mostly because I feel like I want to point out the negatives, but there's so much to love about this movie, too, just because Aardman's animation is so on point here.
I love the animation. I thought it was beautiful. So well loved. And I mean, the food is, like, so realistic looking. I mean, there's stuff that looks really realistic. There's stuff that looks, like, super cute. Like, the alien looks cute. Shaun is cute. Even the dog's cute.
Even the sheep are adorable.
Oh, yeah. They love the big fat little... one.
When the alien got stuck in the giant horn, that was... it's just made of fluff.
I was going to say, also the dummy sheep that they're pulling around is the funniest little thing.
And the dog completely falls for it. The dog, like, believes in it. Like, he just fixes the hat. Then he goes by to see what's going on. He just fixes the hat, and it was, like, great.
Like that. And then even, like, when they get to the more advanced things, like, the spaceship looked interesting, at least, despite being a simple design on the outside. It's kind of flat at the navigator, actually. And then they got, like, even when there's, like, the giant mech, at that one point, it's like, that's a really complex thing to put together. And they had that thing have a lot of mobility and a lot of motion.
Yeah.
And they mix that with, you know, then the great little sight gags. Like, the rooster has, like, two or three different mugs that he has that are all just little jokes.
He dropped his biscuit in his tea.
Like, even with my complaints and being bored with it signing away, it's hard not to be charmed by the work Aardman puts out into these.
No, I mean, since Wallace and Gromit, I think the animation is incredible. So I always love the characters, and they all look like individual and unique. And so it's always very impressive to me. Even the sheep look, I think they all look kind of unique and like their own character.
I mean, I love, like, it is all claymation, and I love the little details of like the farmer's sweater. It's a knit sweater, which means they had to go in and, like, do all the little notches and make little knit Vs on them. And they have those little details in a lot of their, you know, a lot of their figures and a lot of their backgrounds. And it's really cool when you think about, yes, this is animation, but it is claymation, which makes it even more of an achievement.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I think, I mean, it's so seamless. You wouldn't know that they've been stopping and starting or whatever however they're doing the claymation. It was just incredible.
They have mastered it. The only ones that maybe beat them are the ones who do, like, Kubo and the Two Strings. And it's basically they're the same level now because they found the way to merge the art form of the stop motion with a little bit of CGI to blend those frames even better where it's seamless because they match it.
And they did that with, like, Flushed Away. Like I said, that one was entirely CG, but they made a point to make the animation look like claymation with, like, giving them fingerprints in the figures and that sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They do a lot of interesting stuff, but Mindy, why don't you roll into your final thoughts?
Alrighty. Well, as I said, my husband loves all of the Wallace and Gromit stuff. And the thing about it that is so charming is it's so quaint, so British, and sweet. And this movie is. It is sweet. The alien is adorable, and it's a little baby alien who just wants to get home, and all these people want to help him, or her, or it, or whatever it is. And a little kid... And the little kid who's now an adult will find it cute and charming. That said, it does drag. Partly because there is no dialogue, which means they can't have, you know, simple conversations. You know, there are scenes that feel like they're just put in there in order to fill up time. But all in all, even with that, you'll still leave feeling like, you know... Like you just held a teddy bear. So, I am going to give it 7 pizzas that people think are flying saucers out of 10.
Oh, you stole my one.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to challenge you to think of one now. Go right ahead and your final thoughts.
Okay. I also agree that it's, you know, charming and adorable and very, very British. I think that, well, I do think that there are some plot holes and kind of some... And the fact that there's no dialogue kind of causes some issues, I think, for the plot, where they kind of just added aspects that I don't think quite make sense in them. But I think the animation is brilliant. I think the characters are really detailed and just, adorable. And I think that there's a lot of really cool aspects to it. There's a lot of... I really love the references. I'm a big pop culture reference person. And I think that while there were parts where I was, bored, lack of a better word, I think there were some parts where I was really engaged in there, and I think that there were some really awesome stories in there mixed in. I would probably give it a 7 out of 10 Sean's tricks trying to upset the dog.
Well, fair enough. As far as me, I definitely do think I maybe liked it a little bit less than you too. I mean, I agree with you full-heartedly. It's adorable. It's beautiful to look at. The references are like a mile a minute. And the movie challenges you like to keep paying attention because there's so many little jokes and little bits going on in the background. And the problem is sometimes those little bits in the background are more interesting than the foreground because the foreground is going on too long in a side story to try to fill time. And when you're only at 87 minutes and you can tell that you're filling time, you've got some problems there where you should have maybe just made a short or like a 30-minute, straight-to-DVD short instead of Netflix. But they kind of just ran with it. I love the characters. I will always be watching every Aardman thing I can. I know they're trying to work on a Chicken Run 2. And
oh, yeah.
I'm interested to see what they do with that. But, you know, outside of like if you have like a free night and you're just like, I really just want to put something on and not pay that much attention, this is good, except for where it then challenges you to watch more. If you have a little kid, this is a great way to distract them for over, like an hour and a half, because you can catch little bits of it and just chuckle along, but you can also let them watch and it'll be, completely harmless and, something they'll greatly enjoy and they might want to watch the shorts and you have more to distract them with. But overall, I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 little robots that get way too out of their league.
That was one of my favorite characters, actually. I love the robot. That was really cool.
I was thinking the Harvester 5000 or whatever it was, too.
Oh, yeah. Again, just lots of little great ideas in this movie, but yeah. I just kind of wish that it was more focused into like a short, because they could have made like just a series of shorts for this and I would have been like glued to see them put a narrative into a series of shorts as opposed to a feature film.
I can see that. I can agree with that, yeah.